Welcome to the F1 Fangirls Podcast. I'm Hayden.
And I'm Lyra.
And we're two best friends covering everything from the paddock to the podium.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 23 of the F1 Fangirls Podcast. Today we are here with a very special guest, Zane, all the way from London. We are so excited to have him on the podcast today and ask him all the things. We both have a shared love for Ferrari, obviously. Red.
Yeah, you couldn't tell by the background.
Let's go. You might know him for his very creative predictions on TikTok. We have both taken a very love sharing in his predictions, especially with Lyra's predictions on our podcast, including her Adrian Newey prediction. Yeah. We have a lot of great predictions, and stay tuned because we'll talk about predictions at the end of the episode. But we're very excited to have him on today, and Zane, we're very excited to hear about you. Lyra, do you want to?
Yeah. I'll start
Ask
us off.
First question.
Okay, so first, what like initially sparked your interest in F1, and like just can you share how you got into it and being an influencer and all that?
Sure. So I was sort of born into Formula One, if that makes sense. Like I never really chose to do it because like my uncle and my granddad, they're like massive Ferrari fans. So literally my profile picture on TikTok is literally me. As soon as I was born, they just put me in a Ferrari suit. So basically, I didn't really have much choice. However, when it came to like doing TikTok and whatever, I can't lie. I started about 3 years ago, but I made just like completely random videos. Like there was no sort of goal, just like a funny idea would come in my head and I'd just make a TikTok. But there was no sort of like, oh yeah, I really want to be a TikTok influencer doing Formula One stuff. You know what I mean? But yeah, like back in the day, my videos were like really unhinged as well. Like I couldn't post them today because I'd get so much hate. So
oh my gosh. Please
don't go to my first video.
We love that. Yeah. Well, she like indoctrinated me into F1 because you've had the same background where you grew up with it.
Yeah, my dad's like a huge Ferrari fan.
Me, I had no idea what it was, and then she just like introduced it to me and like not forced me, I don't want to say forced me, but it was like she like sat me down and like made me watch it, and then after I started watching I was like, oh wait, I actually am like obsessed with this. And then we obviously both have a shared love of Ferrari, and that was also not really forced, but she's a big Ferrari fan, so then I was like, oh,
rightfully so.
Yes, ask me too. And I mean, Ferrari is the best, so
yeah, exactly. Sure, we can all agree.
Yes,
it's an elite club. Not everyone can be in, but the ones that are in are the best.
Yeah. I'm glad that we all share that. Yeah. This might be a little bit of a biased episode. Yeah. But we love that. What about like the F1 community? I mean, there's a huge F1 community out there, and I mean, we love that, and just that's amazing. But what keeps you engaged just like as an influencer in that world?
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing that really helps is like it's a similar vibe to this podcast, I'm assuming, that it's like I don't take myself too seriously. Like I don't try and, you know, come up with like these crazy opinions or, you know, like all these facts and stats or anything. I just like to make it nice and easy, which actually makes it better to connect with other people as well. So like I mean, there's a couple of other influencers which do Formula One stuff. It's like I wouldn't speak to them that much because they're just so like factual, so I don't want to say boring, but like it's like they're not really influencers, they're just stating facts. However, I realized that like with the people that, you know, just take it as a laugh, like have fun with it, it's so much easier to connect with.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I agree with that because when we first started, we kind of struggled, but like it was a choice between do we want it to just be facts and restating everything or do we want to make it fun and like add our own things to it, which is kind of how we started doing the prediction segments, much like your TikTok.
Yeah.
So
we did we have a pyramid. Like, I don't know if you ever heard of Dance Moms before, but it's like
I've heard of it. I've never watched it.
It's a TV show, and they like have a pyramid, and it's like based on who does the best that week. They'll like put them on the top of the pyramid. So we do pyramid based on like if like
who we like is the best that weekend.
And like, well, even if you win the race, like we don't care. Like we'll still put you like down where you deserve.
I love that. Yes. I love that.
Yes, but yeah, I mean, I love that. Like, it's not like you don't have to be factual and you can like have fun with it because it's definitely a sport where you can like have fun and like explore and connect with other people through that.
But going off of that, if there's someone that's new to F1 or interested in it, what would you say to them to like get them interested into the sport?
First of all, I'd say don't support Ferrari. That's just going to be a not a fun experience.
Emotional roller coaster.
It's like the highs are high, but the lows are super low.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think that it's actually fairly easy for people to get into Formula One as well. I mean, we've sort of seen that with sort of like Drive to Survive and all like the marketing campaigns that they do. But the fact that there's so many races in a year, like compared to like 10 years ago, for example, like there's a twice the amount of races. So it's easier for people to get into it. So it's literally just turn your TV on and watch it. And especially because they make a big show out of it as well. Like, you know, you've got all the pre-race shows, post-race shows. So I think it's fairly easy. But yeah, and it's a nice, as you said before, it's a nice community as well. Because like where I've been doing TikTok, I've made TikToks for like main, like 95% Formula One stuff and then 5% football stuff, which is like soccer for you guys. But I've noticed that sort of like the fan bases on either side are completely different. Like the Formula One fan base is so supportive, like anyone can get into it. It doesn't matter who you support, what opinion you have. And it's cool to see, like, even when you go to a race, everyone supports different teams. Like, you know, you'll get a Ferrari fan and a Red Bull fan and they'll be shaking hands and stuff. But in other sports, it's unimaginable. You wouldn't be able to get that.
Yeah, definitely. We went to the Miami race and it was like definitely that way. Like everyone was just
together to watch it.
And everyone was, even if you're not, because also like drivers switching teams, like drivers were at that team at one point. So then it's just like everyone just supports.
Is a fan of,
So that was really cool to see. And yeah, definitely. Well, how do you stay authentic and just like be able to get, like, how do you get your inspiration for your predictions? Because, I mean, obviously there's, like, can be some out-of-pocket ones and then be some, like, okay, like, can see that happening. But most of the time, like, when we've done predictions, you've predicted stuff and it's been, like,
the
just a crazy thing. Where you should have said it and you're all like, what?
But it comes true.
Yeah.
Yeah. To be fair, like, inspiration for the prediction videos, I've got no idea. Like sometimes I just turn like my camera on TikTok and I've got no idea what's going to be produced. But then at the end of it, I'm just like, how the hell did I come up with that? I mean, like with the prediction videos, I just try to think of something that's like, because I don't know, I feel like they all follow like a similar structure, like, you know, like how many letters or where is this or what happened on this day. But then sometimes I just say to myself, like, right, I want to include something completely random, like, so out of pocket. I think like the most random thing, it's always something like Adam Sandler or DJ Khaled, and I think like how can I incorporate them into it. But yeah, in terms of inspiration, no idea.
Yeah, we love that. There was, I will always remember that she did Adrian, when Adrian Newey left Red Bull, we said that it was when Carlos got his appendix removed and there was that meme going around where it was like Carlos like went into the Red Bull garage and then like was like
stole the plans.
So you said that like Adrian was gonna go steal Red Bull parts and then like put them in the Ferrari car, or like,
and then as soon as I said that, Red Bull started going downhill. It was the craziest.
And then there was like rumors that Adrian was gonna go to Ferrari, and we were like, that's not real. And then you also predicted, we talked about Lando win in Miami too.
Oh yeah,
because
I did not see that coming.
We did not think that was gonna happen. That was a wild race. But yeah, it definitely, we'll just like sit there and like talk, and just like you said, like there's no script or like oh this is gonna happen. It's just like you say random things.
Yeah,
it's like no form for predictions.
Yeah, especially after Monza. So I've kind of followed you like before I even thought about having a podcast, and as soon as Charles won in Monza, I wasn't at home, so I watched it, and then I went on TikTok and I was like scrolling and I saw your prediction video and it was like why Leclerc will win Monza, and then you stitched it and been like he just won, like this is insane. And I was like, that's so funny, because I bet you probably like somewhere in the back of your mind thought maybe it would happen, but like it wasn't the most like 100% set thing, which
made
it even
100%.
Better.
I mean, like if I speak through my emotions that day, sort of like I was watching the race and I was thinking, oh yeah, but we're not actually going to win this. Like, it's going to be another prediction video that went wrong. And then it was sort of like getting to the end, I'm thinking, actually, he might win this. And then he won, and I was obviously like going crazy. And then it took me like a couple of minutes afterwards to be like, oh shit, I actually predicted this as well. Even yeah. more content, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it didn't even like set in, but
exactly.
That's so funny. But going off of predictions, what's your like favorite prediction that you've done, or like one besides Monza, but like a prediction you've had that's been out of pocket that's come true?
I mean, it sounds crazy, but only two of them have been true. It's been the Leclerc one in Monza, and then there was like a period where like because obviously I did the first one and that went like crazy viral. I think it's got like 2 million views or something. So wow. After I kept on doing them, and it was always Leclerc, and he was obviously just not winning any, and everyone started comment like, oh yeah, this guy's just cursing Leclerc. So there was a whole like phase where everyone thought I was jinxing him, and they was begging me to stop. And I was thinking, all right, I need to change this. I don't want to be a curse. So I made one saying this is why Max Verstappen's gonna win, and he won. So everyone trusted me again. It was like the most likely win ever, but
oh you gained your credibility back.
Yes.
Exactly. That's what it was.
Okay, and then, I mean, do we really even have to ask this question? Yeah. But what's your favorite, like, if you had to choose favorite driver, favorite team, and, like, why is that so?
Probably McLaren, no, I'm joking. No, Ferrari, it's just born into it, no choice. But the thing is, like, I've always supported the team more than the drivers. Like, I've always liked some drivers. For example, like, Fernando Alonso, when I was growing up, he was sort of like, he was a Ferrari driver. So he was like my first like F1 superhero, if you know what I mean. I've always had a soft spot for Daniel Ricciardo, and I think like 90% of people do. But yeah, it's funny because like whoever's in Ferrari, that's who I'm going to support. So let's say next year, Leclerc rips up his contract and goes to Mercedes. I'm going to be the biggest Leclerc hater. And I'm going to support whoever's coming Ferrari. So yeah, those are my rules, put it that way.
Yeah, we love
I like that. Yeah, because like there's a lot of, especially with Lewis coming to Ferrari, I feel like there's a lot of controversy of like all the Mercedes fans are gonna be Ferrari fans.
Yeah,
which is interesting to see like who's gonna stay with Mercedes and who's gonna come follow Lewis. But
yeah, no,
going off of that, is there like a certain race or moment in F1 that like has stuck with you from like childhood or recently?
That's a good question. I think it's probably a recent one. Leclerc's win in Monaco. That was crazy for me. Because like it was sort of expected out of nowhere. Because like it's not like Ferrari were doing particularly well leading up to that weekend. Like we were still doing bad. And there was a sort of like a feeling like, oh, maybe it's gonna be the year where he wins in Monaco. And thankfully it was, especially like the luck that he's had in Monaco in the past couple of years has been horrendous as well. So that was really good to see. It was like quite emotional. I'm not going to say I didn't cry, put it that way.
I did cry.
It definitely was emotional.
Rightfully so.
That is, yeah. And then like the breaking the curse, Monaco curse. Yeah. That was like,
we didn't even talk about it on the podcast. We were just like, kind of in like saying he would win, but we didn't want to flat out say it and curse him.
We would do that every time. We would not say like that they would win.
Yeah,
like on the podcast, we would just not say it because we were
scared. Yeah.
Well, that's what's funny as well, because funnily enough, I didn't do a prediction video for that race, and he won. So that's why everyone else was even commenting again, like, oh, you see, you stopped doing a video and he won. You're the problem.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's that was pretty funny. Harsh, but
yeah,
still forgot about that.
Well, that's good. What is like your dream race to go to, or have you been to a race yet, like ever?
Yeah, sure. I've been to two Grand Prix. I've been to the British Grand Prix in 2012. I was like, what, like 10 years old back then, so I don't remember it that well. I just remember the Ferrari did really bad, and I was upset on the way back home. And then I went to the Monza Grand Prix last year, where I think it was Sainz finished second that weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And in terms of a dream race, Monaco's sort of like the standard answer. Like I've always wanted to go to Monaco, but maybe I'd say the Mexican Grand Prix, because like a good, it's always a good race, it's a good circuit, and I've always wanted to visit Mexico. So
that'd be a really cool one.
That would be, and like especially Monza last year, I feel like for us that is kind of a dream race, because Ferrari, it's just like, I feel like with Ferrari everyone feels like a family, like maybe it's just because it's Italian team, but it's just like the atmosphere surrounding Ferrari especially is so like welcoming, which is kind of I think how you came to like it.
No, it's true because like even when we was there, we didn't actually have seats in the grandstand, because I was there with my girlfriend's dad and her nephew, and so we didn't actually have like booked seats. There was just like a bunch of logs that like everyone had like cut up overnight, because you couldn't actually see the track either. So we all was like standing on these logs, but everyone around was like super friendly, like all like chatting, like offering drinks to people and everything. But yeah, no, it was super cool. I'd really recommend it.
Yeah, we'd love to do that Sunday. So hopefully, the
have you been? Have you been to any other ones except from Miami?
Just Miami this year. Hopefully we're going together, but I'm going to Vegas for my birthday.
Oh wow, that's cool. That'll be a really fun race.
I'm really excited for it.
Night races, something else.
It's actually a good race last year as well. Like Leclerc pulled out a masterclass out of
nowhere. That was insane. If that happens again this year, that'll be so amazing.
Fingers crossed.
But I mean, so far we've kind of seen Ferrari's ups and downs, definitely. But I want to hear your opinion. Like, do you feel like they're in contention for constructors?
My heart's telling me yes. And my brain is telling me yes. I can't lie. Like, I need to convince myself that it's gonna happen.
I think
we're definitely outsiders. I think McLaren's probably favorites at this moment. I think if anything, it's just between us and Red Bull, purely because of how inconsistent Perez has been. But you never know. I mean, like, if you were to say at the beginning of the year that McLaren were going to be top of the constructors, you wouldn't have believed it. Like, so much can change. How many races have we got left? I think we've got less than eight. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it's seven or eight.
Yeah. Not a lot left, but I wouldn't underestimate.
We were talking about that earlier. We were like, oh my gosh, Ferrari like might move up in constructors. And then
Checo's not helping at all.
Yeah, no, he's not doing anything.
No, oh my gosh. And then Red Bull just like fell off the face of the earth the last couple of races. Yeah. What you were singing? She was singing the Dutch anthem earlier, and she was like, "I missed it." I was like, "No way, you did not say that."
I know. I've sort of forgotten how the Dutch anthem goes. I mean, it's just strange. I used to remember, last year we were learning it off by heart, and now it's been a while.
Yeah, last year I'd even like sit down and try to memorize it, because obviously who would do that as a Ferrari fan? But like, I know it, like the whole instrumental version. It's like painful. Wow. I don't even know the Italian anthem or Charles anthem, but should probably get to learning that.
Probably. My gosh. What has been like your favorite? I know there's been like so many, like so much has happened all of the different races, but what has been like your favorite, just in terms of, I mean, anything? Because there's been like so much that's happened
this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what I've liked seeing is that, I mean, I'm sorry I'm always talking about Ferrari and Leclerc, but how like Leclerc's actually outperformed the car, but on so many occasions, because like with the car that he's in, you'd expect him to be a lot lower, not just like in where he finished in the race, but in the standings in general. But I think on so many occasions, like Monaco, Monza, for example, where he won, he actually there's no way he should be winning them races, but somehow, you know, he manages to put the car like two or three positions above where it should finish, and that's been pretty cool to see this year.
Yeah, I mean, that just proves, like, him as a driver. Because it's not all about the car. It's who's driving the car.
Mm. Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of comparison in F1 because the cars are different, the drivers are different. So, like, there's skill level, but also you have to produce a good car. And Ferrari seems to not get that right. But Charles just kind of keeps proving that even in, like, fourth fastest car, he can do good, but...
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I mean, the problem with Ferrari is that, like, if we've got a good car, we've got a terrible strategy. And if we've got a terrible, if we've got a great strategy, we've got a terrible car. There's no winning.
Yeah, there's a lot of places to mess up, even if we get it right. We've seen that. I feel like we've seen that with McLaren. Like, they have first fastest car, and they can't even get their strategy right. Mm-hmm. So.
Exactly. I think they fumbled a little bit. Like, I would have with the car they have, I'd expect them to be like storming away with the points right now. But I think they should, like, they should consider the last couple of races, even though they've won a few, as losses, because for both cars, I think they could have finished, like, got a lot more points than they have done.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, yeah, even like today, like, Lando's starting pole, and he has been starting pole for like the last few races, and he still is not able to
convert it to a win.
No, because what, he was from what, like P1 to P17, and we were
he just, like, when he starts from the bottom, he goes to the top, but then we start from the top, to the bottom.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, this is more of on the fun side, but if you could spend a day with any F1 driver, past, present, or anything, what would you, like, who would it be, and what would you guys do?
I'd say, oh, that's a good one. I think it'd have to be Ricardo, I can't lie. Daniel Ricciardo, in terms of what we do, just something like super stupid, like, I don't know, like play like laser tag or something with Daniel Ricciardo. It sounds super cool. I've never played laser tag in my life, so what would actually be like.
Do it with Daniel.
Yeah,
exactly.
So
just something stupid like that.
I love that. Yeah, he would. I feel like he would enjoy that. Like, he just seems like such a fun personality.
Definitely.
Yeah.
What is one thing about F1 that most fans might not know if they're new to the sport, or maybe even not new to the sport, but you think they should know?
I think, especially for people that haven't actually been to a race live and like been up close to the car, how fast they actually go. Like, I know it sounds stupid, but like, when you see one in real life, it's like it's a million times faster than it seems on the TV screen. I'm sure you'd know, like, going to the races. I remember the first time I saw it, and this is in like 2012, so it's not like, you know, the cars were as fast as they are today, for example. I mean, it was fairly far back, but it's just like your mind can't like understand how someone is sitting in that car and going that fast, and, you know, pressing all the buttons on the, for me, that's a crazy thing, like pressing all the buttons on the steering wheel as well, knowing all like your lap times, how far the person behind you is, like, you know, when you can activate DRS. I think it's crazy. I mean, the people that go on about saying that Formula One isn't a sport, which I still find crazy people who actually say that, but it's a said thing. But yeah, it's a lot more of a sport than people think it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I was driving up to Hard Rock, which is where the track was, and I remember just, like, you could hear them. Like, I was miles away, but you could, like, roll down the window and, like, hear them going on the track. And, like, we both said, right, we were, like, rush. The adrenaline, we were, like, I was, like, this is not happening right now. And then actually seeing them in person, you would stand at, like, the barricades, and how fast they would, like, you could blink and, like you said, like, there's something.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
From the car.
It was insane. Yeah. But, yeah, and, I mean, I, like, personally, like, I encourage, like, if you're an F1 fan, like, go to a race, because it is so different, like, watching it on TV versus, like, being in person and seeing the cars is, like, completely different. And, yeah, again, like, the atmosphere, the fans, and just the community of F1 and how everything is, like, go to a race, because, like, it will honestly, like, change your life. Like, it is one of the best experiences.
Yeah.
And, like, neither of us will ever forget, like, our first race. And, aww, yeah,
being together.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a cool experience.
Yeah, no, I imagine that's super cool.
Yeah. Well, we have Austin soon.
Oh,
and
yeah, in a month.
What are your predictions for?
Yeah,
for Austin?
We want to hear it.
We want to hear
Leclerc, Sainz, and
Daniel
Ricciardo.
Know,
if I have to be serious, I think it's a circuit where you're actually going to see a competitive Mercedes. I'm not saying they're going to win the race, but I'm just going to say, keep an eye out for Mercedes. That's sort of my hot take, if you like. But I think it's going to be McLaren's race to lose. I reckon the sort of sensible choice will be a McLaren 1-2, followed by maybe a Ferrari if we're lucky. If not, probably Verstappen. But this is also something funny I thought I'd just say. I was thinking this at work today. Nico Hülkenberg, I think he's going to get a podium before the end of the year.
Wow. His first podium in F1 after all these years.
I know. I was thinking about it. First of all, it's like a fairy tale ending for him. But then, I mean, it's not like he's retiring anytime soon. But I was just thinking, like, the Haas is getting increasingly competitive. And, like, even in his qualifying today, like, before Leclerc's time got deleted, Hülkenberg was actually faster than him as well in the Haas.
Oh, my goodness.
So I think, I say keep an eye out for Hülkenberg. That's my second hot take of the evening.
That's great. I just cannot believe he's been in F1 for so long and
not a single podium.
Yeah, I find that crazy as well, especially because he's been in some fairly competitive cars as well. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Maybe not the fastest, but yeah, that is a crazy start.
Yeah. Do you think that, I think they announced what today, that Danny Ric, this might be his last race before they put Liam Lawson in. Do you think that they'll do that for the rest of the season, or do you think they'll keep him in?
I don't think they do something that drastic at this point of the season. But saying that, I wouldn't be surprised if they do, because I don't know. I don't know what to call them. VCarb, Toros, whatever they're called. They're not in the best position, and I think for them it's like they've got nothing to lose. But I think they wouldn't do that just out of respect, which isn't always shown in Formula One. Like we've seen with Logan Sargeant, the way that they just threw him out. But yeah, I mean, I don't think it would actually happen at this point. However, saying that, Liam Lawson to Formula One and replacing Ricciardo is an intelligent move. Like, Liam Lawson's a good driver, and I think Ricciardo, as much as it pains me to say it, he's done his time. He's done his time, put it that way, unfortunately.
Yeah. I've seen, like, rumors circulating, like, TikTok and Instagram talking about how, and I think he even said it himself, how his goal for Singapore is a podium, which seems like really far out of reach. And I didn't watch the full qualifying, so I don't really know where Daniel ended up today, but I'm imagining it's not top five where he wanted to be. So
he went out in Q1.
Yeah. I just think it's kind of odd for them to switch him out, like you said, this late in the season, but like, F1 is probably the most unexpected sport, like, especially with Logan. Like, I don't think anyone would have seen that coming mid-season.
Yeah.
So, we just never know what's going to happen, I feel like.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing surprises us anymore. Like, even if it does happen, I'll just be like, oh, wow, that's like a millionth crazy thing to happen this season.
Yeah, exactly. So, I feel like this season especially has been the most, like, action-packed, because last year you weren't a fan till later in the season, but I started watching mid-season, and just like Max winning everything was so redundant, and then Carlos pulled through for Singapore, and that was like the best thing that had happened.
Well, yeah, this season it's been like, it was for a while, it was just like every single race was like a different win, and you were like, it was crazy, which that's so fun, honestly, to like have that, because it's like you never know.
That's what sparked my ideas about it being scripted. Not saying that it actually is, but it just like the amount of different teams and people winning, and like Mercedes coming back from the back of the grid just seemed
That was we would literally text each other and we would like see something, and I'd be like scripted.
Yeah, no, this season has been super entertaining. Like, as you said, like, compared to the past couple of years, like, oh my God. I mean, 2021 was interesting with, like, the whole fight between Max and Hamilton. Like, that was probably, like, one of the best years as of late. And then 2022 was literally just Ferrari against Red Bull, but Red Bull just kept on just beating us. Like, there's no tomorrow. And then last year, oh my God, like, sometimes I can't lie, I didn't even bother watching the races because we all knew who was going to win. But this has been super cool. Like, I've been wanting to watch every race, and so has everyone else. Like, you don't know who's actually gonna win, which is cool. We haven't had that in a good couple of years, so yeah, super cool.
Yes. Okay, and then last question, what's your like dream driver pairing?
I think Alonso's got to be in there. Even at his big age, he's, I mean, sorry, young age. Young age.
He's so young rookie, age. What are you talking about?
he's still amazing. Like, even in the Aston Martin, he still continues to outperform it. Like, I think in my Vauxhall Corsa car, I reckon he could get into, you know, Q3 with that as well. He's still super quick. Alongside him, if I'm thinking like I want to win a championship here, it has to be Verstappen. It'd have to be Verstappen. I do rate him as a driver. Like, as much as I shouldn't like him and as much as I should not rate him at all, you can't deny that he's an amazing driver.
Yes, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, we hope that all our predictions come true at Austin. That'd be great.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Get the candles out.
Yes. Yeah. We always have our candles up. But
I love that, rightfully so.
Yes. We had so much fun with you. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah,
with
likewise.
Us.
It's been a pleasure.
Yes. We can't wait to hear all of your new predictions for the rest of this season and then into next season. But thank you so much. And guys, we'll be back for next week with episode 24.
Yay.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode. Stay up to speed by following us on all our social media platforms at F1 Fangirls Podcast.
And if you love this podcast, don't forget to follow and subscribe. I'm Hayden.
And I'm Lyra. Join us next week for our next episode.